From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Separation. In verse 2 of chapter 12, Paul wrote, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul speaks of believers being transformed in their minds. A true understanding and acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings about a radical change in the way a person thinks. As Christians think the gospel, they demonstrate the reality of the transforming power of Christ in their lives. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2. God is jealous. Your Lord is very jealous of your love, O believer. Did he choose you? He cannot bear that you should choose another. Did he buy you with his own blood? He cannot endure that you should think that you are your own, or that you belong to this world. He loved you with such a love that he would not stop in heaven without you. He would sooner die than you should perish, and he cannot endure that anything should stand between your heart's love and himself. He is very jealous of your trust. He will not permit you to trust in an arm of flesh. He cannot bear that you should hew out broken cisterns, when the overflowing fountain is always free to you. When we lean upon him, he is glad. But when we transfer our dependence to another, when we rely upon our own wisdom or the wisdom of a friend, worst of all, when we trust in any works of our own, he is displeased and will chasten us that he may bring us to himself. He is also very jealous of our company. There should be no one with whom we converse so much as with Jesus. To abide in him only, this is true love. But to commune with the world, to find sufficient solace in our carnal comforts, to prefer even the society of our fellow Christians to secret fellowship with him, this is grievous to our jealous Lord. He would fain have us abide in him and enjoy constant fellowship with himself. And many of the trials which he sends are for the purpose of weaning our hearts from the creature and fixing them more closely upon himself. Let this jealousy, which should keep us near to Christ, be also a comfort to us. For if he loves us so much as to care thus about our love, we may be sure that he will suffer nothing to harm us, and will protect us from all our enemies. Oh, that we may have grace this day to keep our hearts in sacred chastity for our beloved alone, with sacred jealousy shutting our eyes to all the fascinations of the world.
Do no sinful action, speak no angry word. Ye belong to Jesus, children of the Lord.
Around you still.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
The mind transformed. It is to know the light of heaven amidst the darkness of earth. It is to know the glory of heaven amidst the gloom and the wickedness of earth. That mind that can be so given over to Phariseeism or filthiness or folly can be transformed so that it glows with the beauty of Christ and the glory of heaven. That's possible. But again, the question, well, okay, but how do I get there? And the Bible gives you the answer. I'm not going to quote this text. I'm going to make you turn to it because I want you never in your life again to forget it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray over it. And I want you to do with this text what my old Bible instructor when I was a student for the ministry told me to do, and I sought to do with Romans chapter 6. When I was the only student in his class, and he sat across the table from me, and he spoke with great awe every time J. Kyle Paisley used the name of God. You felt the presence of God. There was no flippancy when he used the name of God. You felt the solemnity and the greatness of God when he spoke of God. And as he opened Romans 6 to me, he looked at me and he said, "Young man, this is not the knowledge of the head. This is the knowledge of the heart. Get on your knees before God and stay there until God burns this truth into your soul." And that was great advice from one of the greatest men of God it has ever been my privilege to know. Now I want you to do the same thing with this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He has been speaking of Moses veiling his face. Now he says, but we all, in Israel, the only one who saw the glory of God was Moses in this personal communion. The only one who needed to veil his face was Moses. The Old Testament tells us Moses veiled his face because the people couldn't look upon the glory. Paul gives us an added reason. He veiled his face so that they wouldn't see the glory disappearing, because it was only temporary. Now, we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to preach in this text, though I'm very tempted to. There is a depth here. There is a reality here that we must attend to. This is not just a mechanical thing. Learn this and you're in victory. No, no, no. This is by the working of the Spirit of God. This is the Holy Ghost Himself using His own Word as He causes faith to rise up in the heart of a believer. Now He says, with unveiled face, we come into the presence of God. You realize tonight, of course, you've got your veil on. You know that, don't you? You've got your veil on. And so do I. I see what you want me to see. Or at least you think I do. Sometimes I see a wee bit more. And there is an image for you to project. There is a holiness that may be real, or it may be just a put-on show. But when we come into the presence of God, the veil is off. The veil is off. With unveiled face, we come before God, and we look into this mirror, which is, I believe, nothing more than the Word of God itself. We come to this mirror, this glass. It's the description that James gives us of the Word of God. Now, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? Maybe a foolish question. I sometimes go to the mall. I just love it. Actually, I don't, but I love life better. So the wife wants me to walk her to the mall. I do so. You've all seen this. Some idiotic, usually a female, not always, some idiotic female has seen some willowy model wearing something or other in a picture, and this 300-pounder comes up to the same thing, and she imagines she looks the same, and of course to get the sale, the woman selling it, oh yes, that's lovely, wonderful, gorgeous, commission time, come on. And I often wonder, what does that woman see when she looks in the mirror? She certainly ain't seeing what I see. So maybe it's a foolish question to ask, what do you see when you look in a mirror? You should see yourself. you should see yourself. And there is a sense in which that's true. You come to the Bible and you see yourself. But you know, if that's all you see, your mind will never be transformed. We come to this mirror, we come to this glass, and what do we see? We are beholding the glory of our Lord. The glory of Jesus Christ. The beauty and the majesty of His gospel and of Him revealed in it. You know, when somebody says he's saved and he's living wrong, it tells me he's not seeing Christ. When you see a Christian and he's out of sorts and he's out of kilter, he has lost sight of Christ. The glory of Christ. This is the great subject of the Word of God. Behold in this glass the glory of the Lord. When the Bonner brothers, Andrew and Horatius, would meet their friends, the young ministers of their generation in the Free Church of Scotland, probably first in the Church of Scotland, then the Free Church after 1843, when they would meet, say, Robert Murray McSheehan or some of them, they had a question. Searching question. These were great scholars. Every one of them was a genius in Hebrew and Greek, philosophy, theology, and history. You only got to read their books to realize what mighty scholars these men were. And yet, when they met, as they reached out the hand to greet their brother, the question was, "Brother, what new thing have you learned of the Lord today?" They were looking for the glory of the Lord. And I tell you, here is the how. How to have a transformed mind. With an honest, unveiled countenance coming before God. That's sincerity. Beholding in this glass the glory of the Lord. Something happens. Not because you're willing it to happen. Not because you're working about it happening. But by the Spirit of the living God, you are transformed. Not in one single act. This is a continuing process. We are being transformed into the same image. And that is one of the most concise and yet one of the clearest apostolic expositions of the method of sanctification that I know in the New Testament. Be not conformed. You know, let me bring these two things before you. Let me put them, as it were, in juxtaposition. Conformed to this world. Thinking like the world. Having a mind ruled by the principles, or lack thereof, of this world. Bearing the image of this vile, filthy, ungodly age. Or being transformed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. Paul says, "Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? Then if you believe the gospel, there's only one choice that your soul can rise to, and that is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the result of this separation is the greatest happiness that a soul can have this side of heaven. And this is the secret that the old devil likes to hide, especially from young people. So many, even young Christians, are led away with the thought, you know, I'm only young once. I'm only young once. I want to live life. I agree with you. I advise people all the time, live life. Don't just exist. Don't let it pass you by. Live life. But you see, by that, the devil means, if you want to be happy, you've got to be unholy. The devil's a liar. If you pursue happiness, you'll be the most miserable, selfish specimen of humanity that you can be. The pursuit of happiness is the greatest exercise in frustration and failure possible to man. Happiness is a byproduct of holiness. You pursue holiness according to the Bible, and you will be happy. Why? Because you'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's good. And acceptable, obviously. It's the same word as you get in verse 1 when he says that your sacrifice will be holy and acceptable unto God. Well, now his will is acceptable unto you. The word means simply well-pleasing. And the truth is, nothing pleases the Lord more than the yielded life of a believer. But nothing pleases a believer more than the will of God. If you are happy, if you are satisfied, apart from any reference to the will of God, I think you need to be saved. But oh, if you're saved, the desire is God's will. The only thing that will fulfill your life is God's will. And I think there are some folk here, and you're struggling with this. You're struggling with it. And the truth is, behind your big smile and your rebellious words, you know, you're as miserable as sin. And of course, if you're saved, you're going to be miserable if you're kicking against the pricks of the will of God. Because that which is good and acceptable and perfect for a Christian is always and only the will of God. But how do you get there? The will of God doesn't come down with a little box neatly packaged with a pink ribbon, hit you in the head and say, there's the will of God. Oh, no, 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 it doesn't work that way. The will of God must be proved. And it's proved as you be not conformed to this world, but are transformed, transfigured, from glory to glory into the image of Christ, as you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the sanctifying influence of the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost shining all the light of the new things of the gospel in Christ into your heart. That and only that is the way for a Christian to respond to the gospel and to prove God's good and acceptable and perfect will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.